From Genesis through Revelation, this is study number 4, brings us to chapter 2 of Genesis, verse 20. Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's see, we left off in verse 20, but there's some unfinished business, so let's begin right there. And it says, and Adam gave names to all cattle, and to the fowl of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found a helper suitable for him. Adam saw all the animals. Now, it doesn't say how long it took to do this. It must have taken a long time. He saw all the animals. He named all the animals. And even though they were nice company, and they were tame, he got along well with them, and yet Adam knew he was alone. They all had mates. God made them male and female. But Adam didn't have anyone like himself. The animals were animals. There's a difference there. And so Adam knew that he was missing something. He just wasn't sure exactly what it was. But he would know if he saw it. And it won't be long, and he will. Verse 21, and the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. For Adam's sake, it wasn't good for the man to be alone. And in order to have more people on the earth, it wasn't good for man to be alone. The plants were ordered to reproduce after their kind, and they were given seeds to make that happen. Adam was not equipped with a pit or seeds. And so God stepped in and created a female. Now Adam has a companion. And now everything is set for the human race to reproduce. Verse 22, and the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her to the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. This was exactly what Adam had been looking for. He said, this is bone of my bones. In other words, she's just like me. She's just like me. A little bit different, enough to make her interesting. Just as he was a little bit different, enough to make him interesting to her. But in essence, the same. And notice how God brought her to Adam. She was a gift from God. To anyone who is single, don't make finding a spouse your top priority if you're a Christian. If you're a Christian, put God first. Live for Him and pray that He will bring the right one your way. If it is His will, He will do it, and you will know it when it happens, and your relationship will be blessed if you both continue to put God first. Verse 24. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cling to his wife, and they shall be one flesh. The physical union between a man and his wife is designed by God. And it is the will of God. But you know, that union shouldn't happen unless it is between a man and his wife. It is not okay for two men to have some sort of perverted union, which is what it would be, which is what it is. It is not okay for two women to have some sort of perverted union. and any sexual union between two people of the same sex is by God's definition perverted. To put it bluntly, God calls it an abomination. He calls it unnatural in his word. 25. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. Adam and Eve were totally comfortable with each other. They had nothing to hide because neither one of them had ever sinned. There was no guilt. There was no shame. They were perfectly natural and innocent with each other. And so as a sinless couple, they enjoyed each other spiritually and physically. This was perfect. This was the perfect marriage because there was no sin to come between them and God, and therefore no sin to come between each other. Chapter 3. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, Yea, has God said, You shall not eat of every tree of the garden. The serpent. And no one really knows what it looked like in these early days. It may have been able to speak. But it wasn't the serpent who was speaking this time. It was the devil using the serpent. He got Eve alone, away from her spiritual head, and he went to work on her. It says, And now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, Yea, has God said, You shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Notice how the devil planted a doubt in Eve's mind about the truthfulness of what God said. It wasn't a frontal attack on God or his word. He didn't say, God is a liar, Eve. You can't believe a word that he says. He's too smart to say something like that. She would have been immediately repelled by something that blunt. Satan knows she would have been repelled by an accusation like that. Instead, he launches a subtle attack directed at the character of God. Satan always attacks the Word of God. Because if he can get you to doubt the Word of God, you are wide open to further attacks. Verse 2 and verse 3. And the woman said to the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, You shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. When you contrast Eve's words with God's original command, they don't match. Not at all. She added to God's commands. She added by saying, He told us not to touch it. He didn't say that. And then she took away from God's command by weakening the penalty for disobedience. She said, lest you die. In other words, for fear that we may die. God didn't say that either. There was no ifs, ands, or buts about it. They would die. So she lessened the likelihood that there would be a penalty for disobedience in her mind. And you know what that did? That caused her to become open-minded concerning the command of God. Oh, I can't be too dogmatic about this, I guess. Verse 4 says, And the serpent said to the woman, You shall not surely die. You're not going to die. And there's the lying devil that God's people have learned to despise. Jesus said, Satan is the father of lies. And this is the big lie that that he has been spreading since the days of Adam and Eve. You can sin and get away with it. That's exactly what he is now saying to Eve. Go ahead. There won't be any consequences for your sin. Because you can't really trust what the Word of God says about that anyway. God tells people, or Satan tells people today, you know, maybe other people couldn't get away with their sin, but I bet you can. Because God really likes you. Because I think you're something special to God. He'll make an exception in your case, so go ahead. Oh, I know the Bible says the soul that sins will die. But that probably doesn't apply to you. And if the temptation is strong enough, you buy the Satan's lie, the devil's lie, if you don't stand firm on the Word of God. 5. For God does know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. So Satan called God a liar in verse 4, and now here in verse 5, he accuses God of being selfish. There's so much more for you and your husband, Eve, but God doesn't want you to enjoy it. He's hogging all the really good stuff for himself, Eve. If you eat that fruit, then you'll really be happy. 6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also to her husband with her, and he did eat. Eve was tricked. But notice, Adam was not tricked. Adam simply chose to go with his wife rather than go with God. There are some Christian psychologists out there who have written that was just such a wonderful thing that Adam did. Oh, look at the love that he showed for Eve. That was a hideous thing that he did. That was an idolatrous thing that he did. He put his wife above God. There is nothing good about that. There is nothing virtuous about that. Don't try to put a spin like that on the Word of God. It's not true. It was an evil thing that Adam did. Jesus said, if you love husband or wife, father or mother, son or daughter, more than me, you can't be my disciple. And Adam just threw away his discipleship with God when he put his wife above God's word. He did it willfully, with malice and aforethought. Adam made a god out of his wife by doing what she wanted rather than what he knew God wanted. Disobeying God is too high a price to pay for peace in the home. If Eve would have gotten angry at Adam, if he had not eaten that fruit, then Adam should have just let her walk. Well, just leave. Go live outside the garden, go on the other side of the garden, whatever the case, but I'm not going to do it. Too high a price. Disobedience, sin, too high a price to pay for keeping peace in the home. You do what God wants you to do. And you never compromise that for anyone. And quickly look at verse 7. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. As soon as they sinned, they felt something they never felt before, which was guilt. And they knew that Satan lied to them. Sin did not deliver the good that Satan said it would. They were promised divinity. What they got was an immediate terror of God and a mistrust of each other. Their relationship with God has been snapped, which means that they are feeling sort of like a lost child in a crowded Walmart. They lost God, and to some degree they lost each other also. How can they trust each other to do what is right for them when they can no longer trust each other to do what's right in the eyes of God? They cannot. We'll pick it up right here next time.